This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We are the official radio show of 2013. Nobody knows that except me, Larry, and now Jim Connell. My guests today are Larry Allen of Allen Federal, Jim Connell of Red River, and today it is soup time, boys and girls. Soup is on. Jim, tell people who you are and what you do, please.
Well, my name is Jim Connell, and I'm vice president at Red River Computer Company, and we have a number of contracts, including Soup 4.
Including Soup 4.
Yes.
And you and I have known each other for a couple of weeks now.
Yes, a couple of weeks.
We go back to the your CompUSA days, and I'd, probably not before that.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit before that.
Okay.
Which was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, a few weeks back. But watching CompUSA in the early 90s was pretty cool because, again, very small team, very focused team, and the growth for that period was pretty extraordinary, you know, up to about $120 million within a 2.5-year run.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting being on the inside for that.
Yeah, oh, I bet. Yeah, until some idiot in Texas said, well, why don't you guys come down here? Because it's government. Larry, welcome back.
Mark, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, on to soup. But before we do soup proper, let's talk about the value of GWACs in particular. Jim, Red River is technically and virtually a small company. What's the value of a GWAC for a company like Red River?
Red River is a small business, and the value of a GWAC is that any government buyer can place an order on a GWAC. And we're fortunate to have the three big product GWACs, Soup, GSA Schedule, and ECS3, and any government buyer can use them.
Okay. When you've heard me say this before, I don't know if Jim has or not, I interviewed Max Peterson after he left CDW and before he went to Dell. He's no longer with Dell, but we did like a 4-hour interview on CD, and he said, if you're selling IT products to the government, you really need multiple vehicles, and he called it a trifecta, and his trifecta was Soup, ECS, and GSA. Probably in that order, or not necessarily in that order.
Then I guess we have the trifecta as well. The customers, they develop their own preferences, what they want, what's easy, what works for them. And to be able to offer a choice to the customer in a very crowded marketplace is key. If a reseller only has one option, not every customer is going to like that option. But having all of the options gives virtually every customer their choice and what they want to do, whether it's speed or particular products or fees or the way things are handled within the contract, they all vary so the customer can find the things that's most important to them and make use of that contract.
Okay. Larry, I don't know if a lot of people make this correlation or not, but Soup is literally the offspring of reinventing government. Is that sort of accurate?
Oh, I think it's accurate. You know, Soup started out many, many years ago for high-end workstations. In fact, the acronym used to stand for the Scientific Engineering Workstation Program, and it's kind of morphed into an IT product IDIQ contract till now, and in its next iteration is likely to add some services. So it had some very good origins in the fact of reinventing government. But over the time, it's also had some sound management and evolution.
Okay. Right now, there's only literally a handful of GWACs, GWAC being defined as a government-wide acquisition contract, primarily or exclusively for IT. What?
This is in the GWAC realm. It's primarily for IT. There have been some discussion of services. It'll be interesting to see, Mark, not just in this vein, but in light of things that GSA is planning to do with Oasis, whether or not there are any subsequent legal challenges to contracts that morph themselves into professional service vehicles. I don't think there should be, but somebody might get upset or have an original thought, and off we go.
An original thought. Man, that'd be unique. But okay, we got Alliant. Alliant Small Business Vets, 8A Stars, CIOSP3, CIOSP3 Small Biz, ECS3, and SOUP4. In every study I have seen in the last 10 years, the most popular contract among any for IT in government is SOUP. Why?
Well, from my perspective, Mark, it's because it's ease of use, very easy for contractors to manage their SOUP offerings from that perspective, easy to make contract modifications, things can be done same day, sometimes same half of day. So that keeps the offerings very robust and up to date. From the buyer side, how you buy through SOUP is also very automated. Very straightforward. There's not a lot of mystery to it. Perhaps to use the word transparency here might be appropriate.
There you go.
But really, it is. And also, SOUP offers a very low access fee compared to some other vehicles. And one of the reasons they can offer that is because they have very well automated processes that really offer good end-to-end management. And also, really, I think one of the reasons it works well is because SOUP has always understood what it is and what it is not. So SOUP, unlike some of the broader programs, doesn't try to match everybody's need. It still has that some vestige of that original mentality that we're here for a certain set of solutions and not others.
SOUP is very well managed. That's probably the bottom line from much of the market's viewpoint. They manage it well every single day, every order, every opportunity, every question. So it's good for the customers. The customer gets what they want. It's good for the contract holders because it's very well defined. It's very clear as to what the rules are. As Larry said, there's some things that are outside the rules, but it's very clear what is outside the rules. It's also good for the manufacturers. As to bring the products to market, they see a vehicle that works very well for the customers, and you can plan around it because it's clear as to how it works, how it's going to happen, and the time frames are short and realistic, so that if a procurement takes a while to build and put it together and plan for it, it can turn into action quickly, smoothly, correctly, with no hiccups, no bumps. Again, mostly because the SOUP office manages things so well, so tightly, and the customers benefit. Everybody benefits. It's a terrific contract.
We're going to pick up that right after the break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We are back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio WFED 1500 AM. SOUP's on, boys and girls. My guests today are Jim Connell of Red River SOUP Contract, among other holder, among how many other contracts? You have at least a handful.
We have several. We have a number of, in addition to the three GWACs, we have a number of agency-specific contracts. We have a number of agency-specific BPAs.
Bingo.
And some of those BPAs are based on the SOUP contract.
And there you go.
The SOUP office, they floated the idea a few years ago of creating a BPA-like vehicle. They formed a committee amongst the program managers of the contract holders. And they came up with, at the time, the acronym was CUPA.
CUPA SOUP.
There we go. But, so it's a BPA based on the SOUP contract, and we've had very good experience with those things, and other contract holders have as well. Plus, again, the customers. They get the benefit of what it is that they need to fit their program, whatever they're doing, whatever they're building, whatever they're expanding, so that they can have clear prices, clear products, clear procedures for a finite period of time, and it just works. It works very well.
Cool. And you mentioned manufacturers. It's relatively simple for a manufacturer to get on the contract, not as a vendor per se, but as a partner to one of the companies on the contract.
Very easy. And the contract holder can make that process even easier and smoother, depending on, you know, how well that process is done. But the soup office encourages that. If a manufacturer inquires as to what to do, they're referred to the contract holders. Soup holds industry events throughout the year where anybody can join the event, listen to the presenters, and see where the opportunity is for them. If they're a manufacturer, if they're a distributor, if they're another reseller, there's dozens of resellers that have partnered up with soup contract holders. And again, the customer benefits because of the relationship that this additional reseller, a sales agent, has with their customer. They can work with the soup contract holder, who then works directly with the soup office, manages the whole thing, and the customer gets what they want at a good price and in a very timely fashion. Everybody benefits.
Let's back up a second. Several things you indicated there indicated like a very close-knit community. A couple years back, I was invited to come down to the soup conference for the keynote. And when I went, I've done more events than me, but we both been at a lot of events. I've never been at an event that was like walking into Cheers and everybody there knew everybody else. I was the odd man out, but everybody welcomed me. I mean, it was the coolest event I've ever been to, not to mention it was in one of my favorite cities, San Antone.
That's very much the case working with the soup office. They're very professional. They know what they're doing. They do it smooth. They do it smart. They're very helpful. You very much feel like you're working with them. And what you're talking about, Mark, is the intangible side of it, because they're good people. They're nice people. And that makes it even better. We see that as a contract holder. The manufacturers see that, the relationship that we have with the soup office, and the customers see that as well. So it's not merely what's on paper and what's signed and what's agreed to. It's we need to get the job done. We need to get it right. We need to take care of the customers. And you hear that in every transaction, everything you do with the soup office. Let's do it right. Let's take care of the customer. Very enthusiastic group as well. They know what they're doing. They do it well.
I think one of the things, number one, Joanne put together an advisory council for the upcoming gig. But I think, you know, I've only been over to the offices a couple of times. Every time I go over, I see the same faces. They have an extraordinary retention rate for their staff there. And that's got to add to this equation.
It does, and not only the folks that are more public that you see at industry events and things like that, but the folks in the background, the folks that are doing the very nice things with their website and building their website, creating things that don't exist anyplace else, that makes it smoother for the customer, makes it easier for the soup office to manage it, makes it easier for the contract holder to work with the soup office. So the things in the background are done by good folks that are there a long time. They understand what it is. And everybody over there absolutely gets the idea of customer service.
Just to follow on with what Jim has been saying, and that is, it sometimes feels like when you go over to the soup offices that you're not actually in a government office building, because the professionalism that they do display and the fact that they also understand the need to market their program, and they're willing to work with both individual contractors. They can't promote an individual contractor, but if an individual contractor has a opportunity or something that they need help with, they'll do that on the behalf of the entire program. They participate in a number of industry events. They understand that they are helping their contract holders by taking the initiative in marketing the overall program to federal buyers.
The soup office also does an awful lot of training. DOD decreed that before you could use the soup contract, you had to have training from the soup office. So every DOD buyer has training before they use the soup contract.
DOD has a soup liaison office.
Yes, they do. And an excellent relationship. But that training extends to any agency, every agency. And the soup office is constantly doing training. They go to the customer site. They work with the end user customers so that they understand the contract, what they can do, what they can't do, what the rules are, how they're defined. But that helps the customers get better efficiency and better use of that particular contract. And they're doing that all the time. They've gone and done hundreds of trainings throughout the government. And those trainings are always very well received.
And Joanne does a lot of them herself.
She does. And they're terrific.
Well, I mean, for me to get her on the show, I have to book her like 3 months in advance because of her travel schedule.
Well, she's certainly been the chief soup cheerleader for a number of years. And first of all, it's indicative of the fact that she believes strongly in her program and in her people. But also, Mark, it's an indication that Joanne Wojtek, who we're talking about, the program director for soup, really wants her program to become the preeminent GWAC in the federal IT space, the one that people think of first when they have the suite of needs that are covered by soup. And she'd like very much to be the light that outshines the GSA schedules or anything else for that matter.
Well, I don't think she would ever phrase it that way. I think she just wants to have the best run vehicle that she can present to the universe. I don't think, I mean, when I talk to her, she never says, I want to be number one. But in fact, she is. So all modesty aside, or she's not, soup is. And it's just, when I talked about the conference, I wasn't talking about just the vendors and the soup employees. I was talking about the buyers from the other agencies who were there. These are fans of this contract. And you just don't see that very often.
No, you don't. It's nice to have a specific contract like soup that you can plan that event around with a known universe of people who are going to participate in it and who like it, probably a little bit more of enviable than, say the GSA Expo crowd that is a program that tries to be everything to all of GSA's buyers. And that's very difficult to pull off.
Well, when you're talking 35, 40 schedules.
And the global supply program and a role for the Ability One offers and things of that nature, it becomes multiple parts of the same market, but each part has its own individual cast of participants and own individual ways that they go about doing their business. So you don't get the cohesion because of the diversity.
The soup contract, the current soup contract, Soup 4, is very well constructed. They've had the benefit of the previous contracts, and each time you learn, and as we see virtually every day, they look for ways to learn, to make it better. And during the lifetime of the existing contract, changes have been made. The big visible change is the change in the fees. The fees have dropped throughout the lifetime of the contract, and everybody likes that. But it's just the construction of it, the way it's put together, the way it's been tweaked during the lifetime of the contract. Few things start out perfect on day one, but they strive to make it perfect, to make it better every day. We've all seen contracts that are spend a long time, months, years to be put in place. And the first thing you learn is that, maybe it's not constructed all that well. But this is a contract that has an excellent foundation that they've continued to make it better at every single opportunity.
Well, and the fact that it was the first GWAC and it's still with us speaks volumes. I got to help market the second GWAC Super Mini that was awarded, I think, about 6 months after Soup came out. And I had a blast with that, but it was one contractor that owned it, so PRC could literally hand-pick who it wanted on the vehicle. And believe me, the fees were not as low as soup for those partners. But it was a blast to market. I mean, we had 9 years do $11 billion, and they maxed the dollar value of the vehicle. It was fun. So. Anyway, let's take a break here. I am going to share the absolute one winning tactic for the procurement when we come back. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You can find the soup contract at soup.nasa.gov. There's a lot of good information there. You can find Jim at redriver.com.
Yes.
There you go. And Larry Allen at AllenFederal, AllenFederal.com. Larry's got a weekly newsletter. I strongly suggest you sign up for it. It'll take you 3 minutes every Monday morning to read this thing. It's well worth the time. So here's the absolute winning tactic for this bid. When you send in the bid, send in a rubber duck. Joanne has a pretty decent collection of ducks at this point. And that is a joke, by the way. Do not send gifts to anybody in the federal government anymore, ever, 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 unless you want to lose your bid. So the weirdest thing about this contract, it is one of the best known vehicles literally across government. There's only 42 contractors. Hello.
Well, right, and I think that speaks to ease of use. I mean, the way soup has always been structured, Mark, is that it has a limited number of companies in any one functional area. So, you know, there are clear winners and losers, which always leads to protests, particularly in this marketplace. But because the program is soundly run and administered, as we've discussed, those protests aren't often successful, and people would think twice before they protest here rather than another GWAC opportunity. So by keeping it to a set number of companies in any one functional area, you have good representation of solutions on your contract. But again, you're not trying to be everything to all people. Yet within that, and Jim can probably elaborate on this more, you still have very sound small business participation, which is another key element in government contracting.
Right. And with the awarded contracts of the 42, four of them are 8A contracts and 38 were competitive awards. It falls out in the typical bell curve. There's a handful of companies that have been very successful with Soup 4. There's a handful of companies that have not done nearly so well. But there's a lot, and in the different categories, that, again, gives the end-user government customer options and choices. Category C is for small businesses, and various socioeconomic categories are represented there. So even within Category C, the end-user government customer has several different options that they can move in whatever direction they want to or they need to. And again, Soup manages all of that very well. It's very clear. It's very well defined. And it benefits the end user customer, benefits the contract holders as well. But with that, there's enough contract holders that there's good competition too. Because we've heard it many, many times for many, many years. Competitiveness in government contracting is very important. The current administration has been stressing that. And this is a contract that brings that to the street each and every day in a fashion that works for everybody concerned, and the government benefits tremendously from this contract.
Okay, the four categories that we're referring to are the Category A is the VARs and computer system OEMs, Category B, service-disabled veteran-owned, Category C, small business set-aside VARs, and Group D is VARs in general, your CDW types. Go back to the customer service thing for a second, Jim. You and I were talking before the show. The lines at NASA Soup offices are open 10.5 hours a day, every day. Every Monday through Friday day. That's nice.
It is, and it's just one element, one manifestation of what they see as important, taking care of the customer, because some of the customers are not in the Eastern time zone. Some of the customers are on the West Coast. Some of the customers are OCONUS and other time zones. So they feel the need to be available both for the end user customers, for the contractors. And then when it comes down to the end of the fiscal year, they're there on the weekends too, fully staffed.
Oh, yeah.
And it the level of service we see on those last couple of weekends in September is no different than we see every other day. They're there, they're fully staffed, and their view is very much they're providing customer service when and where it's needed.
That brings to mind, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, Dendy Young, who ran Falcon Microsystems at the time, would be the guy who ran out for pizza at end of FY and be the doer. I can see Joanne doing that when she's not manning the phones herself. the office is just you know, they you got to do what you got to do, but at the end of the FY, that's it.
Well, the end of year buying rush has always been there, but with the conditions as they are in the federal government for the last few years, that's been even more focused because of the uncertainty concerning availability of funds. So when an agency does get some money or an office does get some money, it could be a surprise. It could be something they were planning for. It could be something they were hoping for. And we see it all the time that the view is we've got the money. We need to move it fast. Okay. Otherwise, it might be taken away. And so they turn to a contract that works well, works smooth, works timely.
The sources sought notice showed up about 10 days ago on FBO. And when I looked on last Thursday, there were only 47 responses, but that's only because I had only had the link on LinkedIn for about an hour at that time. how many companies do you think are going to respond to the sources sought notice? And what will be a legitimate go, no-go criteria for them pursuing this vehicle?
Well, I think the second part of your question, Mark, is as yet unknown. Coming out in the draft RFP and looking at the degree to which SUP is going to expand out into the services arena will probably have a pretty direct impact on that equation. Having said that, going in, there are certainly many more eyes interested in SUP now than probably ever before for a number of reasons. I mean, we've talked about them here. It's an efficient contract. Everybody who's on it likes it. There are very few opportunities for good, robust GWAC contracts these days. The ease of management is extraordinary if you're successful. And people are looking for that vehicle, that type of good, well-managed, well-populated vehicle to sell IT solutions in what is an increasingly tight IT marketplace. And, you know, SUP has, as we've been discussing this hour, a very good reputation. People want to have their own business burnished by affiliation.
James.
I'll agree with all of that. It's a good contract, and it's the kind of thing that you, if you do well, if you work hard at it, and you see some good success, it's something you can be proud of because you learn quickly. I remember just the first few days of being the contract holder, you learn quickly how well it's managed, how serious they are at it, what the rules are, how well they define it. And over time, you see how it's been changed, altered, modified, improved. And so the next iteration clearly will be better. It'll be better constructed. It'll be even more refined. And it's the kind of thing that any IT contractor clearly wants to be part of.
Okay. Now, I just lost my train of thought completely there. So, I hate when that happens.
So we can talk about trains now?
We can talk. Jim's into model trains.
Ah, very good. Excellent.
We have a lot of friends who do that. So rather than try to remember what I was going to do, we're going to take a break. You're listening to AmpTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, back after another senior moment.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests today are Larry Allen of Allen Federal. You can find him at allenfederal.com. And Jim Connell of Red River Computer Company. You can find Jim at redriver.com. You can find information on the SEWP contract at sewp.nasa.gov. I suggest you take a look at this. So we have the sources sought. We're not going to see the RFP this year, right?
Well, I think we'll see a draft RFP, Mark. The word on the street is that NASA is fairly close to putting a draft RFP out for comment. We know that there are a lot of eyes looking at this and expecting it to come out, and I think there will be some robust comment on it. We've been talking about the fact that you can do some degree of services through SEWP now. That's likely to expand a little bit. That may attract interest from non-traditional SEWP players to try to make some sort of play for SEWP. Other types of companies, distributors that haven't previously looked at this vehicle but are looking for ways to expand their own contract presence in this market out beyond the GSA arena, are definitely going to be taking a look to see about whether SEWP can accommodate them. I know that there have been a couple of distributors that have already had discussions with SEWP managers about whether or not they would entertain an offer from that type of company, and there isn't anything to suggest that they would not. There wasn't an automatic rejection of saying, you know, we're this type of contract for this type of contract holder, and you know, if you fall in that category, great. If you don't, well, then you have to find some other way to sell to the government. But they didn't say that. They are interested in taking a look, a de novo-based look at this type of thing. So that's potentially bodes well for incumbent SEWP contractors. The specter of having some new people play in their sandbox, I'm sure, is an interesting thought and an interesting topic about what it means for them and their future business. So it's something to get the perspective on.
It'll be
from
interesting
some of those
to see
contractors.
It'll be interesting to see if and by how much the contractor base is expanded for SEWP V. But Jim, what are your thoughts there?
Well, I think there'll be more awards the next time. You know, we're hearing things about that. Certainly a good contract. Some more awards would be good. Going to hundreds probably wouldn't be so good. Then the contract would lose some of the advantages that it has. Incumbents that are performing well probably have a bit of an advantage. The incumbents usually do. I agree with Larry. I think there'll be some players that would not typically look at it. We'll take a serious look at SEWP V. Companies that didn't consider SEWP 4, SEWP 5 might look a little bit different. SEWP has a long history of evolving and getting better each and every time, becoming more comprehensive, deeper, and they've always had the focus on taking care of the customer. So the next version, it'll be different. There'll be things added. Maybe some things will change. Some things might be tightened up. But it'll certainly be a good contract. It'll be well constructed. It'll be well run, well managed. So anybody that's been on the sidelines and seeing what's going on, I think there's going to be many organizations that'll take a close look at making a submission for SEWP V. And I think there'll be some surprises, as Larry says.
Okay. So in between takes here, I mentioned that I think there's only two of the top 10 overall contractors on here, and that would be Unisys and Dell. So we might see some activity from some other firms. But you made a good point, and I think it was live on air. The only 10% of this vehicle was for services, and those have to be related to the products that are currently there. So we may see a bump up in that percentage, but your take is they'll probably still be related to the products?
Probably, because SEWP has always been a product contract. Having that change to something completely different doesn't seem to fit in the evolutionary scale that it's been on. But also in the SEWP contract, it's not just selling products. It's not just selling a product, a Clint in your catalog. A lot of the business involves statements of work, which gets into much deeper, much more comprehensive performance under the contract. And again, the customers are being well served by that, because they're able to look at the soup contract as more than just buying the bits and pieces, the parts that they need, but then putting it all together, having it installed, having it taken care of, can all be done within the scope of the contract. And that's clearly serving the customer. So that, I think, will be enhanced in some fashion. Not exactly sure how, but it makes sense that they'll take the things that are good and enhance those. And that's one of them. So that it's more than just buying 100 PCs or 100 servers. It's looking at the network center, and the agency is doing a project, a program to revamp or change or enhance or consolidate, and they can do all of that within the scope of the soup contract.
Okay.
I would concur with what Jim was saying, because I think he's absolutely right. I don't think soup's going to turn into some other acronym. It's still going to be soup with its product-based format. I think that as contractors and soup program managers look at the current federal IT landscape, it's inevitable that they're going to try to find some way to underscore and make very clear the value proposition and the best value proposition that soup and soup contractors have to offer. We've seen a couple of agencies, GSA was one, I think the VA is the other, that are trying to set up commodity IT contracts, so straight strategic sourcing type commodity IT contracts. I don't think soup will go in that direction, and I think they are going to probably take some steps to try to avoid being perceived in that light. But we know right now we're in a low price, technically acceptable market. So the degree to which they can use the Soup 5 opportunity to refine what is their basic brand in a way that reflects the current market conditions is where they're going to focus.
Okay. A couple of things I'd like to point out, and Jim, your comments on these as a vendor would be interesting. This is straight from the Soup site. Other things to know about Soup: online quotes, online product verification. 2,300 federal sites place over 1,100 orders per month. Low prices, tiny surcharges, fast ordering, and here's the one that I like most on these: continuous proactive tracking of the order. So, what is this? UPS? Again, this is cool.
It is cool, and it's again, it's well managed. Everything you said is managing every aspect of the contract. And that benefits the customer, it benefits the contractor, it benefits the manufacturer that's actually building the stuff, because they check everything, they double check. The product must be on contract before you can submit a quote to the customer. Everything flows through the soup office. There's not side communication and that sort of stuff. So everything goes through, everybody lives by the same set of rules. And then you can begin to differentiate yourself between the contractors. So I see all of that list that you said as manifestations of the management of the contract. They watch everything, and they make sure everything is right. And the customer benefits from that, because we've seen many times where the customer is trying to do something, and the soup office helps them get to constructing their RFQ. And by the same token, the soup office will help the contractor in responding to that RFQ. So now everybody gets the help and the expertise. It's done right. The customer benefits.
There you go. Final thoughts, Larry, Jim.
Well, soup's a good contract, good sound management. Probably one of the more closely tracked IT vehicles for FY13. Even though we won't have awards probably until FY14. But I think people are expecting a lot out of it. And I think that for the people that line up with its target audience, they won't be disappointed.
It's an excellent contract for everybody involved. It's well managed, and everybody benefits from that. So it produces a situation that it's the phrase win-win, but really it's multiple wins. Wins for the end users, wins for the contractors, wins for the manufacturers, and certainly it's a big win for the soup office, the soup contract, It's well done. Everybody's benefited. It's evolved. It's going to continue to evolve to the benefit of all.
Thank you so much for joining me today. This is not my day job. I run the Government Market Master Program at Capital College, capitol-college.edu/GMM. We have about 15 seminars coming up in February and March, the first of which is February 19th, Maximizing LinkedIn for Government Contractors. Show up. It's great. And thank you for listening to AmTower Off-Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.